In the name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Do you not know? And have you not heard? And has it not been told you from the foundations of the earth? It has. Pastor Fisher and myself have spent time catechizing Josiah in the faith. And that is why he has come looking for Jesus. That is why he comes to receive his gifts of word and sacrament. It is the Sabbath, and we remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, right? To fear of God, so we do not despise preaching his word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it. That is exactly what you are doing, and we give thanks for that. And so it was the Sabbath that day as well, when Jesus had taught in the temple with great authority, and he had cast out demons, and so there was this great awe, and it filled the air, and excitement and fame around Jesus. And everybody wanted to know where Jesus was. But Jesus first went to the house of Simon, and there he's met right away with a terrible situation of Simon's mother-in-law being ill with a great fever. And so what does Jesus do? He takes her hand and he lifts her up, and then shazam! I mean, she's healed immediately. And this is what love does. This is what Jesus does, because Jesus is love. He cares about his people in their bodies and also in their souls. And what is her response to Jesus? What does she do? She serves. She serves them all. She serves God in the flesh, and she serves her neighbor. And faith and love there, you see, are intimately entwined with one another. And as you can well imagine, this miracle spreads like wildfire amongst the city of Capernaum. City of Capernaum was a city that lied right on the Sea of Galilee, and it was a densely populated area with at least 200 separate little villages with thousands of different inhabitants within those villages. This we know from Josephus, Jewish historian. They all see Jesus, all of them. Didn't matter what you had, the delirious, the palsy, the epileptic, the lame, the blind, the dumb. They were all there. Some limping to Jesus, some probably using crutches to find Jesus, some carried on donkeys and maybe even just whatever they could, friends and family could find to just get them to Jesus. And guess what? Jesus healed all of them. And that is what love does. He did not turn anyone away. He did not say, I'm not for you. I cannot help you. Because love is not like that. Love gives unto the end. Love gives unto death. Love gives even unto death on a cross. Jesus, therefore, is love, and he is for you, and he is for everyone. Exhausted after all of this healing that Jesus did, he lays down to rest, but he does not stay long resting, but he rises early in the morning, the day after the Sabbath, and he goes to this desolate place and he prays to his Father. And there, in that abiding relationship of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, he is yet again reminded why he became flesh of a virgin. Why on earth did he come to earth? Why did he come to this diseased, dejected, and dying earth? Why? Let us go unto the towns, Jesus says, that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out. He came to preach. The Greek word is kerusso. And that is to say, he came to proclaim, he came to announce that the kingdom of God was among men in the flesh. He came to heal this seemingly incurable wound of debt, of death and debt. He came to give his life as a ransom for many, to cure them of something that they cannot be cured of, to erase something that they cannot erase, and to die for something that they cannot get away from. Jesus came not for temporal results. He came not for measurable results. He came not just for the body, but he came for body and soul. And why is that? Well, you know, and it's sad. In this valley, temporal healing is only temporal. Healing is temporal. It will not last. I mean, in the grand scheme of things, the hospital is a really expensive band-aid when I think about it. The eyes will close again. The bones will break again. The mind will lose it again. The heart will stop again. I mean, when I thought about it, sin and death is simply waiting at this cursed roundabout of life. But Jesus comes for man inside and out, for body and soul, from the sin and the death that refuses to let him go. So upon waking, Simon and the other disciples, they don't see Jesus, so they go to find him because he's out praying with his father. And then when he finally finds Jesus, he says, Jesus, where have you been? Everyone is looking for you. But here's the question. Why are you looking for Jesus? Why is Josiah looking for Jesus? Now for the crowds, they looked for temporal healing. I'll get ahead of myself and say that Josiah, you are looking for Jesus because you know his gifts. To know Jesus, to receive Jesus, is to know his benefits, to know his gifts, to listen to them, to ponder them, to receive them daily, and to never forget them. But why are we looking for Jesus? Why do we come to church? I mean, a lot of people look for Jesus, and for the world's sake, and for a lot of people, church is like a religious buffet where they want to choose what they want to believe in when they want to believe it. And most people want Jesus, but then when he comes to give them that which they do not want, they don't want him. They don't want the forgiveness of sins. And that is the problem. The crowds came to Jesus. Many of them came to Jesus seeking a solution for an eternal problem with a temporal band-aid. They wanted a temporal solution to an eternal problem, if you will. And what was Jesus' response to the crowd at Simon's door? When he's begging Jesus, well, where have you been and why haven't you done all? Where have you been? He says, let us go on to the next towns that I may preach there also. How could he say that? How rude. I mean, Jesus is love, right? Jesus heals everyone, right? He does, but his love is different. He doesn't love in such a way that he loves people in that he gives them what they want. He loves people in that he gives them what they need, even though they don't want it. His love is not an enabling love. His love calls a thing what it is, and it gives man what he needs. True healing of body and soul. And to do that, he must preach. He must go and die and rise again, that you and I would die and rise again in him. So it is that in today's society, we are very much obsessed in all the wrong reasons about our body and the body of our neighbor. When the body breaks down, and which it will, Josiah, just trust me, eventually it will. Everything breaks down. When the body hurts, everything hurts. Can't stop thinking about it. When the body's weak, the soul is distressed. Why is this happening to me? The man cold. It's like, oh my God, the man cold. Why is this happening to me? When the body fails, faith wavers. Just like the Israelites, we cry out to, like the Israelites did, why is my way hidden to the Lord? And yet he sees everything, yet we think he's blind. Go figure. And so we cement our happiness, our life, our well-being to our physical health. I didn't like to think about it this way, but this is really true of my human nature, my sinful flesh. Why will I anxiously wait for the doctor to call or send a MyChart message, which he does not read? Stop. But yet, if the physician of my soul calls, the curate of my soul calls, I'm puzzled or I'm bothered. Like, I'm not dying, am I? I'm like, you know, even annoyed that people that the pastor calls on them. I will sprint to the doctor, but I have to be dragged, screaming and crying, into church. I'll feel terrible about falling off my diet. But all I can manage, it seems like, is a kind of religious multivitamin, you know, kind of Jesus once a month. I'll fixate on my appearance and how I look in the face of my friends, in the face of my family, in the face of my colleagues, and I'll be so concerned about that. But when it comes to how I look before God, okay, all right. I mean, he is, after all, the great BFG. The big friendly God. He's a big friendly God. He's good, but he's not safe, as C.S. Lewis would say, but that's another sermon. We'll fret about our health and our diseases and our illnesses, what we may or we may not get in this life, but we certainly don't think about our sins. And if we do, we'll just like, oh, Jesus, put it on my tab. I'll get to church at some point, and then you'll die for them, and then I'll live with you forever. The law in this text is that we look for the doctor of Nazareth, but we are not concerned with the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Now, do not get me wrong. Your body matters. You learn that in the first article of the Creed. Remember how it begins? Okay. Our body is a good gift of God. And being so, we treat it with respect. We care for it as it is a gift of the Holy Spirit. But we also know that our bodies do not, our bodies and the way they look do not determine our access to God's paradise. What determines us, our entrance into paradise, with Christ? Gladly hearing the preached word. Regularly digesting the word of God. Living in the word of God. Which is what a catechumen and now a confirmand, Josiah, does. And that is what you are doing today. Because you and I know, and all of us also know that there's no sickness, there's no malady, there's not even death itself can take Jesus away from me. For Josiah knows, and we know together with him, that we do not fear anything that can kill just the body. But we fear, love, and trust in him who can kill both body and soul in hell. And that person is Jesus, God Almighty. Which is why we bow the knee, we confess with heart and lips, only our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the first commandment right here. So when you go looking for Jesus, you must find him in the right place, giving you the right things. To truly lay hold of Jesus, as I have said, is to listen to him, to love his preaching, to hold fast to it, and to know his word. Because in this preaching is the very revelation of the gospel, that Jesus is truly and really present physically among us and for us. As Lutherans, you learn this as what we call the real presence. That is why the real presence of Christ is why we do not forsake the assembly of believers. It's not because church is fun with a lot of people, though it is, can be fun with a lot of people. And through this word and through this physical presence of Jesus, guess what he does? He takes the fixation that we have on our heart and our body and our life and all of our fretting, and he places it on his body. He wants us to focus on his body. As if Jesus were to say this, don't look at your body, look at mine. Gaze upon my body, gaze upon my suffering, my blood that is being poured out for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. For there alone in my body is no band-aid, but an entirely whole new creation, a new life, a new world that does not end and does not have sin or death. Jesus is always redirecting our hearts away from our own bodies and hearts to his body and his heart. That is why the miracle of healing Simon's mother-in-law was not simply for the outside, but also on the inside. He works through your ear, Josiah, to get to your heart. His word, as you know, creates in you a new heart and a right spirit. And through such a word, he comes to your anxious heart, whenever that may be, and he instructs you, and he consoles you, and he disciplines you, and he forgives you. Jesus is not just simply chicken soup for your soul, nor is he vitamin-rich bone broth for your body. I like that one. He's for your body and soul together. And you must hold that together and know that they interact with one another. He gives you his body and his blood because that is what love does. He loves you, and he is the fountain of your love, as he is the author and perfecter of your faith, from which your love flows. So direct your heart and mind to Christ's body. Rest your hands and heart in his Sabbath rest daily. Behold him on the tree and on the resurrected and glorified shore and physically present in with and under that bread and that wine that you eat. For you must know that even youths grow weary and they faint. Even confirmands grow weary and faint. But you, as Isaiah says, wait upon the Lord. That does not simply mean to pass time, but it means this. It means to uphold and hold fast to the promises of God in spite of anything that is happening in your life. And God promises that those who wait upon the Lord will not be discouraged and will not wait in vain. For you as a child of God simply do not love only that which can heal the body, but you rejoice today, and we all rejoice today together with him who heals both body and soul in heaven. Because he came ultimately to preach this word, and catechumens and confirmands love to hear this word. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He came to preach this word. It is finished. He came to preach this word. Behold, I have come to make all things new. And so it is. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.